powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sorry about that. All right. Maybe I'm not fellowship. I am. All right. Let's be sure that we all are. And this is your opportunity to use this wonderful grace asset that God has given us to restore ourselves to fellowship at any time, in any place, and under any circumstances, if we have a mind to. Just by applying 1 John 1:9, you can't wear it out over and over again. Certainly, it is not God's will for us to sin, but we are going to sin. As the Scripture says, there's not a righteous man that continually does good and does not sin. Or we all, as James says, we all stumble in many ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can maintain our tenacity with regard to your truth, your word, and thank you that you provide for us everything we need in order to be in this environment and to be refreshed, edified, and informed. Bless this class to that end, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we gave you on page 3 of your notes of the doctrine, the importance of doctrine, which you can pursue if you want to. It's pretty obvious that the whole idea with regard to the founding of these churches from the beginning of Acts through was to get these believers lined out, get them on track spiritually, and they had just the right people to do it, like Paul establishing these local churches. Imagine taking a bunch of individuals who just got converted from their pagan background and bringing them up to grade, and then having to leave them and go to the next group. And he stayed in places various lengths of time, and it was about teaching, instructing, and organizing these local churches. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians emphasizes the importance of Bible doctrine in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul founded the Ephesian church, but he's in prison. He's in Rome, and they're in Asia Minor. And so the line of communication and informing the apostle, because he's responsible for these people, comes to him with reports. God worked things out back then with the kind of slow transferring of information from place to place. But people did this in the ancient world. They had people who could spread news around and travel. And so it may take days and weeks to get information, but Paul would get a report, and then he would respond with an epistle or a letter. Ephesians 1. For this reason too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Believers are brought together from various backgrounds. They are brought together, and they are a family, and they apply towards one another. We've all been the recipients of it. Applications by other members of the royal family within the local church. Keep it up. That's a demonstration of your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you, for I'll make mention of you in my prayers. He is thankful for the positive volition in the great city of Ephesus that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom. In other words, the wisdom they have, he's wanting them to have further insight and development and revelation of the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will become, in other words, turned on to this idea of SG3. How you acquire it, what is necessary, so that you'll know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This requires a bunch of doctrine in order to get people occupied with the importance of SG3 on a daily basis. Application in fellowship of the Word of God produces SG3. It's as simple as going to work and getting in fellowship and doing your job as unto the Lord, or whatever you're doing, whatever your chores, whatever your responsibilities are, whatever you're suffering, whatever you're going through. The bigger the test, the bigger the SG3. We need to remind each other of that. Stay in fellowship. Reap eternal life. And that is another expression relative to SG3. How do you reap eternal life? We all have eternal life because we're believers. To reap it is to garner the rewards at the award ceremony right after the rapture. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards you who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about. If there's any question about God's ability to make this happen, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. That's the earthly realm and all that's involved. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Everything is under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been raised and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. The course of human history and the wrap-up of human history, leading to the establishment of the kingdom on earth for which we pray and wait. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that will be accomplished. And it will happen soon. Keep occupied with Christ and occupied with this fact. And gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All right. Also in Philippians, we have the chapter 3. Not all that long ago, we did redid Philippians and Colossians. Not Ephesians. Ephesians was the first book I did when I started using the computer. Philippians 1, did I say? So Paul, again, to another group of believers, the church at Philippi. To this church, he writes and says, And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, epinosis. There's love, and then there's love based on real understanding and knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere, intellectually honest, so forth, and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Colossians 1, next book over, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, see, that's their positive volition. Their faith is their positive volition. Because they are a minority, a small minority, in the midst of a big bad world. And in this outpost, in the kingdom of God, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of, and he comes back to this theme, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. SG3, laid up for you in heaven. Every time you make an application in fellowship, there's an account in heaven with your name on it, and it's added to it. And there'll be an equivalent reward when Christ returns for everything you've done in phase two under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're out of fellowship and do the right thing, it's just human good. You won't get a reward for that. Hence, the importance of maintaining the filling of the Spirit when you do things. If you can't think of something, if I just sinned or what, just generic, do it and keep rolling with it. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. This hope includes the hope of a resurrection body. It includes that when a believer dies, prior to that, he's absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. And that's where all the saints that are up there, and all these Colossians, and all the people since that are currently in the third heaven. But they're waiting too. But not like we down here. They're under no testing. They're waiting. And think of all the centuries that have gone on since the writing of this letter and the passing of so many believers through the course of the church age who were informed and are there, which has come to you just as in all the world also. It is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it is doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he has also informed us of your love in the Spirit. He gave a report on the spiritual health and condition of the Colossians at this time when this letter was written. He traveled all the way from Colossae all the way to Rome. One Epaphras. The 1 Thessalonians. Next book over. 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, When Paul and his missionary team walked into Thessalonica. That's in northern Greece. It's still there. There's a city there. That when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men. Take it or leave it. Word of men. But for what it really is, although men communicated it, It did not originate with them. They simply communicated it, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy, which we call here, plus H. You know. Plus with an H, capital H, versus minus H. Minus H is temporal happiness. It's okay in its place. But plus H is God's happiness. And the thing about it is, it does not depend on your circumstances. A believer can be under the gun in persecution, other types of suffering, and have plus H and inner peace. But you have to discipline yourself with regard to that. And get your STA out of it and get Scripture in front of you. God's promises. And you can have plus H and inner peace even in these extremely evil and insane times. There's no reason why you cannot. If you just occupy yourself with everything out there that's wrong, then it's going to lead you to be bummed out. And you can't do that. You got to ride above it. Figure out a way to do it. We got something that's ahead for us that's absolutely, totally phenomenal. Beyond comprehension. The glory. And why so we're hanging on. Do not become discouraged. Do not soul faint. This is an illness that strikes some believers. They become weary in doing what they need to be doing. And if they let that consume them, then they soul faint. That was some of the problem with the Hebrew Christians. Soul fainting. I just don't know if I can take any more of this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that can be a mentality. You know, sit around and stew about things. Drop it. Get in fellowship and start praying. And see if that doesn't help you out. Open your Bible up. Read some things in the Bible to help snap you out of the funk you might be in. We all have to do it. Being like that mentally about all this does not glorify God. The world is what it is. It's in this spiral leading to the wrath of God. And our country is right in the center of it. Don't trust in any of these people, any politicians, anybody who says anything. Keep your eyes on God and His plan. Some people did that with Trump. He isn't going to save us. So, things we need to keep focused on. Okay, I read 2:13, 3:9. Okay, I was reading that. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face, make a return visit. That's in the will of God. Paul, it's mind-boggling. Paul and his ministry and all the irons he had in the fire. But God gives grace for every person to do this. And that his concern was that I can get back there and we can be mutually encouraged by seeing each other face to face. I'm encouraged when I see believers who are consistent, who are here, or who have come back. I am encouraged and I am thankful. I don't take this for granted. How could I? For all the joy with which we rejoice before God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. We took you to a level, and it was a good level. The Thessalonians did great, but they need to be taken to the next level, he says. And the ideal situation is to have the communicator face-to-face rather than letters. Letters are okay. It's kind of like today. If someone can't make it, then we've had historically a tape, CD, etc., ministry, and now on the web. So that people, for whatever reasons, can get this information. And if you're out there listening to this today, of course, I can't do anything to generate any positive volition in you. I can't put it in some form that will grab your attention. You have to be a seeker, and you have to realize the state that the world is in is not going to be solved by men. It's going to take divine intervention on a scale unprecedented in human history. The day of the Lord. So make the salvation adjustment and start moving beyond that to understanding and praying. That God will get you where you need to be physically and spiritually in the time left. If you're out there, all you got to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ and start getting some answers. The things that are happening in the world are reflected in Bible prophecy. And And Paul taught Bible prophecy to these people too. Got him going. Basic 101 Bible prophecy. Taught him about the Antichrist. He taught him about the day of the Lord, things of this nature. Of course, the rapture, the future resurrection. And they were enthralled with this idea that they were going to be someday resurrected and given a resurrection body. Now they're in heaven, all these Thessalonians and the rest of them. They're in heaven being comforted. And being comforted doesn't mean being patted on the head and they're feeling bad. They don't have a sin nature, so it's a different way. Even a reversionist believer dies, will be comforted. Lazarus, the rich man Lazarus story. What he was comforted. He didn't go to paradise beneath and, oh, whoa, you were a reversionist, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he'll have a judgment he'll go before as a believer. But they didn't drop anything on him. That you were a failed believer. Even though that's a fact. Okay. All right, that was Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11. This is what we've dedicated ourselves to around here. Intake and application of Bible doctrine or face-to-face teaching with your right pastor teacher. And those of you who have been here, and those of you who are new, you are growing in grace, and you have put yourself in the best possible situation for your future blessing. You've got salvation. Yeah, fine. That's wonderful. That's the biggie. But beyond that, we're shooting for the rewards and the glory that is attached to that, which in the Bible is referred to in various kinds of ways. Second Thessalonians 11 and 10, 11 and 12. To this we also pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling. That's another way of expressing matching up with your salvation and living up to your calling, which is your eternal situation. And all that's involved in that. And fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And back in Romans 1, let me see. I'm going to skip that one for now. Let's go back to the next point. Let's go forward to the next point. I've told you this innumerable times, it seems. The measure of a believer's love for Christ is keyed to two things: hearing and applying His words. That's in John 15. It couldn't be clearer. The measure of love for the Lord, it's completely logical. It's completely makes sense. Your love for someone is not just in words, but it's how you treat them. It's how you treat them. And so, Jesus made it clear. And that's why believers everywhere ought to be keyed to the hearing of the Word of God. Found all this information found in these 66 books. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You kept one tonight, among others. You assembled yourself together. It's a commandment. You might not have felt as great tonight as some other night, but you decide to get up and come here. And anything that would have been a distraction out there, you put it aside. You got here. And that's what you'll be required to do Sunday. So 4:15 and in the same chapter, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Well, you can't keep a commandment if you don't know it. All the do's and don'ts in the Bible constitute commandments, directives. We call it the directive will of God. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That's fellowship with the Father and the Son. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Okay, moving on. Doctrine in the brain soul produces. This is just a representative list of the things that doctrine produces in your life. Something you learned when you got on doctrine. Isolation of and victory over the STA. Well, first of all, you have to begin to know you have one. You have to be told and taught a list of things that are inappropriate, sins. It's a fairly lengthy list, as one might expect, of things that we are not to engage in. This is a psalm of David. And the context is when he got exposed, busted, they might say, for his affair with this woman called Bathsheba. And the psalm is devoted to that event without bringing the sin out and stating it directly. And so he had to recover from this severe STA spin out in his spiritual life. Psalm 51, 5 and 6. Behold, I was brought... Now you have to know what this doctrine means. People read the Bible. I read the... And I'm always... I encourage people to read the Bible. But there are things, unless you've been taught, you're going to... What's this about? You go off on some weird thinking about it. David, the great King David, he had a mother and a father, and they were married when they had him. He was the seventh of seven sons, the youngest. And notice he talks about his conception. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. He was not an illegitimate child. There was nothing sinful about the relationship between his parents, his father's name was Jesse, and his mother. That was not, and in sin, my mother conceived me. See, somebody take that and run with it and think that this was an illegitimate physical union between a man and a woman that weren't married. It's not the case. The historical record says that he was the seventh son of this couple, married. Okay, so what does that mean? Then what does this mean? It means he came forth into the world with an STA. Bottom line, I was born with an STA. Why bring this up in this thing? Because it's from he fed into his STA when he became enamored. When he, I suppose, accidentally saw this woman bathing nude up high on a roof. And his STA ran amok. He already had about a dozen wives. But he was just starstruck by her. And she was married to one of David's soldiers. And invited her into the palace to dine with him, and one thing led to another. And in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make known wisdom. This is a song where he prays for restoration to fellowship, using language. I won't get into all of it here. But this set him back spiritually. He prays various petitionary prayers for his own self. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And let me get back on track where I need to be. So he did the things he needed to do and got restored and got back on track. Just Psalm 119:11. So it's through the Bible. Bible doctrine is a guard against STA activity. Your word I've treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Potential, don't guarantee. Just because you have doctrine inside doesn't mean you're not going to not sin. It just means that it is a protection. You can go with it rather than falling prey to some STA behavior. Bible doctrine in the soul produces the divine viewpoint of life. And that's pretty obvious. God's viewpoint is not ours by nature. We acquire the divine viewpoint, God's thoughts, God's ways. We learn and we cycle that into our souls, into our spiritual being, so we can do, among other things, when we hear something, we can bring it into captivity for Christ. If we hear people say stuff and you've heard the doctrine and the doctrine contradicts that, then you can bring that into cap, whether it's a song, whether it's a speech, whether it's just something people say. Because people are, while they talk about things in general, they are all the time spouting human viewpoint about life and things in general. That is not the divine viewpoint. You don't jump them about it, but you hear it and you take it captive. Bible doctrine also produces confidence. Confidence. This isn't arrogance. It's genuine confidence. Hebrews 10:35. The Hebrew Christians, this is another group, they were in the churches in Judea. And these churches were scattered around. And so whoever wrote this letter, this anonymous author of this great epistle, he tells them, therefore, and he uses the believers of past times and to tell them that He uses their early spiritual career and the conflict that they were involved as a result of Jews becoming believers in Jesus Christ in this Jewish state that was very antagonistic to Christ. And so as these individuals became believers, they began to suffer greatly at the hands of fellow Jews. Jews till this day do not take kindly to one of their members becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. They don't take kindly to it. I've had people report directly to them. What happened? They treat them like they died. Even if it's a child, they're dead to them. No communication. Nothing. This is for Orthodox type Jews. I don't know to what extent, because they're intolerant. So they had suffered there, and of course the authorities let it happen, encouraged it, by the general population. And he compliments them on the way they handled that testing. They didn't back down. They didn't back down for a minute. And when one of their members was taken and put in jail, they didn't get scared. They went there and visited the believer. I guess they had visitation rites in prisons like they do today. And they went down there and visited a fellow believer that was in jail for simply being a believer. Big SG3. Anytime you try to encourage people like this and help people, whether it's small things or whatever, whatever is put in front of you, you just do it. And you're not afraid, well, they're going to get me now. No. That's in God's hands. If they want to persecute me, let them knock themselves out. They're just handing me SG3. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Jesus says, great is your reward in heaven. Just for getting through that. But with the passage of time, and of course these things flare up and these people are all cranked, but when they realize it isn't doing any good, they tend to back off. People go about their lives. And in other ways, they might be persecuted. In hiring people for work. You a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Sorry. Not sorry. No job. Okay. God will get me employment. God will get the basics in front of me. But over time, they began to wear on them. They were about to get released from this because the fifth cycle was coming to Israel in 70 AD, and this letter was written up close to that, when they were going to have to relocate, pack their things and go, catch a ship, whatever, and go to some other place. And God gave them a heads up. When you see the Roman armies assembling, marshaling up. And this started around 68 AD. Then you need to get out. There's your window of opportunity. So you're not caught up in this. The Romans aren't going to distinguish between whether you're a Jewish believer or not Jewish unbeliever. They don't care. All Jews are fair game. What Rome brought down on them as part of the wrath of God on the Jewish state, for the rejection of Christ, the abuse of the apostles, and their continued unbelief. They got evicted from the land for the third time. 70 AD. So they were going to get away. Not that they go out in the world and everything will be fine. They just won't live in that environment where their fellow citizens are so antagonistic and persecute them. He says, you remember the way you handled things in the past. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. I give up. I quit. This is a threat. I'm just going to compromise. I'll go back to the synagogue. I'll go back to this and that and make mom happy and all the rest of it. That's throwing away your confidence. Now, you can't throw away your salvation. You throw away your confidence. I give up. It's too much. How many have done that? Thrown away their confidence, which has a great reward. You bet it does. Because that great reward factor is staying the course until you're called home. Your ultimate home. For you have need of endurance. Does this apply to you this evening? I'm not judging anybody. For you have need of endurance, so when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And doing the will of God means staying positive and faithful, no matter what tomorrow may bring or what the time we have left to us, we just stay in it. And for those of you who have, congratulations. I'm very thankful for you, and you give me plus H. You'll give me the equal amount of Lupe if you decide to flip out of here because you just can't do this anymore. And do not be around people who are going to take your crown or separate you from right pastor teacher. That's playing with fire. That's playing with fire. Because you, in effect, are telling them that they're okay and what they did. Oh, with the passage of time, that makes it okay. Somebody said something dumb like, well, they can rebound. What good is rebound if you keep shooting up heroin? I mean, it's stupid. If you rebound, then you have to step away from it. You have to recognize that what you did was wrong and make the correction. So rebound without follow-up is pretty meaningless. Who are you going to rebound? Well, I left right pastor, teacher? Then what's the alternative to you? Get back with him. And you can use all the excuses you want to. I'm not perfect. Me. Or whatever it was. I know what they're saying. I pretty well guess it. All right. Confidence. Doctrine gives us confidence. It's good to have this kind of confidence. In the face of a contradictory world, that we're confident that we got the real deal. People say, oh, you're in a cult. Prove it. You can say all kinds of manner of evil you want to. I have no special hold over you. You came here for your own free will. And you can walk out of here of your own free will. And I won't be trying to run you down and give you any Kool-Aid. Nothing. All I have to offer to you is one, Bible doctrine. I'm a mouthpiece for the truth, for you. I can offer you friendship. I could offer you, if you needed it, some money. Some personal fellowship and encouragement, one-on-one if necessary. I can do that. As any Christian here can do for any of you. But the main thing I have for you is spiritual food so you can make the three adjustments to God. And that is my boast. If anyone stuck in Maranatha Church and was here not only in body but in spirit and listened and applied, they went, and I've had people come in here unsaved, got saved, made progress down the road, and then just imploded. And over some of the dumbest stuff. They've got to try to make themselves look good. So they've got to point out at some imagined or real failure of mine. That's what they've got to try to do. But it doesn't let them off of the hook. A sin on my part does not eradicate my ability to move forward, even if that does yours either. Doesn't matter that I'm the pastor. Stuff that... I apologize if I've just said what you already know it. And so I always give you the exhortation, don't let anybody out there take your crown. And I know, no doubt some of them try to talk to you real kind and we love blah, 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 and all the rest of it. And you can do this. Turn it off. The devil does come around as an angel of light, sweetness and light. Mouthing all the stuff and trying to persuade you to go elsewhere. There immediately you know that that's a person I need to separate from 100%. Resist and he'll flee from you. As the Bible says, the opposition, when you resist and you stand firm, they will leave you alone. All right, these are momentous times, this is very clear. We got a little more to do. God has provided us with this place, everything we need, money, help, get things done around here, volunteers back there in the prep school and the nursery, getting the grounds, keep them mowed, pay the bills, all the rest of it. So your prayers are much appreciated. And even though we've lost people, all the holes have been filled in. We have not missed a beat. Certain individuals have stepped up in their own way big time. They were waiting for this opportunity. Not literally, like if this is going to happen. They were being prepared spiritually. The opportunity came and they stepped right in. It was all natural. Some were already locked into what they were doing, but others stepped up. And for now, the Board of Deacons is doing real good. I can't tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow, but they are doing real good right now. And I'm very pleased with them. I'll see you Sunday. Do not wear any Halloween stuff in here. I will throw you out. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.